on the topic of holy ground. And in Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen is reminding the Sanhedrins of what happened during the time of Moses. And so he's making reference to what happened in Exodus chapter 3. When the people were unhappy and living in so much sin and disobedience and all their misery and frustration and slavery that they're experiencing in their lifetime. And so Stephen is reminding them, and he goes in detail through chapter 7. And we get led to verse 33. Acts chapter 7, verse 33 reads, Stephen is speaking to the people, and it says, "Then the Lord said to them," and he's making reference to God speaking to Moses in Exodus, "Then the Lord said to them, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And so Stephen continues with the story, and we're going to jump to verse 51, and in verse 51, he keeps on sharing with the Sanhedrins, and he's sharing the story with them for a reason, because he's reminding them of the situation and the time that they are living in, which is very similar to the time that Moses and his people are living in. And then he goes out on a limb and just calls them out. In verse 51, Stephen is speaking to the people, and it says, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." And in verse 55, he keeps going, and Stephen, the people get upset with Stephen. And who's this Stephen guy telling us how to live and calling us out and reminding us about how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do and what the Lord says and what happened with Moses back in the day? All of this is happening, and the people get frustrated with him. And so the members, the Bible says, that they started to gnash their teeth at him, and they were furious at him. And verse 55, it says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And in verse 56, it says that the heavens, that Stephen saw the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And so I want to point out those Bible verses to you. Verse 51, it says that the people that Stephen is speaking to were resisting the Holy Spirit. And in verse 55, it mentions that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. And in his fullness of the Holy Spirit, he saw God. And in the fullness of his Holy Spirit, in verse 56, the heavens opened. And when they opened, Jesus was present. So as I reflected on this, I wanted to be sure to point these things out. You see, because we have the opportunity here today to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, right? We live in a time where we have the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be in His presence, okay? And to live with His presence in us. That's the way it works. So we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We live in His presence. And through the process of being filled with the Holy Spirit, His presence is within us. And we're talking about holy ground. So I want to propose an idea to you today. I want to propose the idea that this, where you're sitting here today, where your life is today, whether your bank statement is black or red, Whether your gas tank is full or empty, no matter your circumstance, that this, your present life, the present status that you're in, is holy ground. And I get it. I got maybe 4 amens. Not all, you know, didn't get too many of them. I get it. We live in a different world, a different time. It's years later. This isn't the time of Moses. This isn't the time of Jesus. This isn't even the time of Acts. I get it. It's years later. It's different. We have different mindsets. Joseph, those were miracles. That was then. That doesn't happen anymore. If you think that, because some of us do, and that's fine because some days are rougher than others. But in Jesus' name, right here, right now, if that's our mindset, Father God, I pray for forgiveness, Father God. Because we're wrong, Lord. Because we're wrong, and we pray right now, and I pray right now, Father God, that in Jesus' name, that mindset, that chained mindset, that those chains be loosed, they be broken, Father God, and we be set free of that mindset. Because this is holy ground. Are there any youth in here today, this morning? I know Matt's here. Are there any youth? I know Bianca went to the back to help out with the kids. Are there any youth in here? Can y'all stand up, please? Stand up, stand up, stand up. Any youth that are here? Nathan, you're a youth. Don't look left and right. You are a youth. Youth is 6th grade to 12th grade. Church, if you give me, if you can just look at these awesome, Mr. Green Bay over there in the back, you can stand up too, my friend. Yeah. I want you guys to take a look around at these youth here. This is what a miracle looks like. So those of us that might come into church on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis and think that miracles don't happen nowadays, you're wrong. Because they do. Y'all can have a seat. And I say that because of all the work that our church is doing. It's absolutely amazing that the work that everybody puts in, that comes together when other churches come and visit, and the long days and the early mornings and the stress and the driving back and forth and the I'm tired, I want to rest, and then you keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you don't even know how it's going to work out. It's not even on the agenda, and it gets put on the agenda, and it still comes to pass. Those are miracles. That's the church at work. That's the presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit on display. Now, last night there was a youth pool party, and I'm gonna. There was 12 youth at the pool party, and I don't mean to call them out or make an example of them, but I need for us as a church to see what is happening within our church that you guys are doing, that we are doing, and the holy ground that we are living in. I'm going to shout out some names. Tyler, Angela, Julio, Angel, Zevin, Brenda Lee, Abigail, Merari, Oksana, and Saori. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 youth. And some of them are here today that a year, 2 years ago, did not attend this church. And they are here attending youth, attending church because of the work that we as a church are doing in the name of Jesus. That's holy ground. Now, can I get all the parents and all the adults to stand up, please? If you're a parent or if you're an adult, that means you're older than 30 years old. You know, the majority of us are 31, so we qualify. I propose this to all of us, that our youth and our young adults, Joseph, I didn't forget about you. I know you're sitting down. Girls in the back, I know you're sitting down. You guys are young adults. You guys got a little bit of youth in you, and you got a little bit of adults in you. You guys are in the prime of your lives. Our youth and young adults, guys, church, they need our help. They need our help. Y'all may sit down. They need our help. And I say that because it's a topic. Well, how do we go about doing that? But how? It's a great question. I know. I've heard that before, you know. Yeah, uh-huh. But how? Well, here's the idea that I propose to you today. I didn't make a little handout sheets. The pastor's real good about that. I didn't. Forgive me for that. But I'm going to propose to you an idea. And it starts with the word instruction. Adults, parents, we need to instruct our young adults. We need to instruct our youth. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says that we need to train up our children. We need to train up our youth. We need to train up our young adults. Proverbs 29:18 says that we need to discipline them. And I learned that discipline isn't just spanking. That's not what the Bible means. The Bible means that discipline is raising up, sacrificing the time to raise up your children, your youth, your young adults the correct way in the eyes of the Lord so that they follow the path of the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says that the children should come to him. Don't restrict your children. Don't restrict your youth. Don't restrict your young adults. Jesus says, let them come to me. My second word is demonstration. Now, demonstration, adults and parents, this is strictly reflective of our own personal actions and what we expose our youth and young adults to. That's probably the hardest part because it means that we actually have to be adults and we actually have to be parents. And that's not me preaching to you. That's me preaching to myself too because I can be very hard on Matthew. But we need to demonstrate love, demonstrate Jesus' power, Jesus' compassion, Jesus' forgiveness, Jesus' light. My third word for you today is experience. We have instruction, we have demonstration, we have experience. And our youth and young adults need experience, guys. They need to be in church. They need to be at youth service. They need to be at church camp. They need to be at the community outreach. They need to be at the fundraisers. They need to be at school events. Yes, Jesus does exist in the schools. They need to be at college, at university events. They need to go to Christian workshops. They need to go to Christian conferences and Christian concerts. They need experience. My fourth word for you is assessment. So we instruct, we demonstrate, we experience, and we need to assess, guys. We need to be in their lives. Assessment is huge. It's the most important. Because we set them out. Okay, we're going to church, we're going to youth, we're going to concerts, we're going to this, we're going to that. They're experiencing Jesus. But it's the most important because when we set them out, we think that they're doing well, but not all the times they are. And so we have to assess them and raise them to assess themselves. They need to assess themselves. Well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? Get them to think about these things. Pray about these things. Wow. Oh, my. Instruct, demonstrate, experience, and assess. That's the idea I propose to you today. Did anybody write that down? I'm not calling you out. What does instruction start with, Rose? Yeah, what does it start with? What letter? I. P- Pastor Elias, what does demonstrate start with? Nelda, what does experience start with? And anybody in the back, what does assessment start with? I-D-E-A, idea. That's the idea I propose to you today. And we can't do it ourselves, church. But with Jesus, can I get a but with Jesus? Eloy, can I get a but with Jesus? Let's turn the Bible to John chapter 14, verse 5. But with Jesus, holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. In John chapter 14, verse 5, the Bible says, Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus is speaking to Thomas. And in verse 12, the Bible reads, in verse 12, it says, very truly I tell to you, and we've all heard this before, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, the Bible says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Verse 12, I love this word. Jesus says that I am the man. I am the way. I am it. Your life should evolve around me. I'm the way to finances. I'm the way to a house. I'm the way to joy. I am the way to strength. I am the way to freedom. I am the way to overcome. I am the way to move mountains. I am the way to free chains. And then Jesus says, but hold on. Greater things can you do because I am going to the Lord. As great as I am, as awesome of a work that I can do, you can do greater things. You, us. When I read that verse many years ago, I was wowed. I was like, is this in the Bible? Really? It's such a powerful verse. And then in verse 14, Jesus says that if you ask in my name, I will do it. At the conference, there was a speaker that talked about the Great Commission, and it's something that's really, I've heard it before, I've prayed about it before, I've read it before, but it's just been in my heart so much. And in Matthew 28, when we read about the Great Commission, the gentleman was pointing out some words, because the Great Commission tells us to do what? To go. And I'm thinking about the idea, right? To instruct, to demonstrate, to experience, and to access. And living on holy ground, living in holy ground. And then I was kind of sitting there. I was like, okay, we're going to go through a little bit of this. Okay, I've heard this before. And then he said, but the Bible also says to baptize. And he points out that more importantly, not only does he call us to go and to baptize, but to disciple. You see, our youth, our children, guys, they can come to church. They can go to youth. But are they being discipled? And discipled means that you know, to in a simple way, is that what's going in one ear isn't going out the other. And that comes from us, guys. And how do we do that? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. that we do our job, that we pray, that we read the Bible, that we get prayed up and ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that in our holy ground, we can disciple to them their holy ground. And they're our future. And the great thing about this is that that's what we're doing. That's what the church is doing. And it's so awesome. And that's all kudos to the church, because it's putting one foot in front of the other. It's having sweat on our brow. It's having muscles that ache. It's getting dirty. It's running crazy in the rain on Tuesday night. This is holy ground. And I'll close with this. Yes, Lord. We can do this, church. We've been doing it. We have a few more churches coming down. Miracles are happening. We have youth here that for their second time they've been here. We have youth that come to youth and don't even attend the church. That's the work of you guys, because you've been going out and discipling. This is holy ground. It doesn't exist in the book of Exodus. It doesn't exist only in when Jesus was alive. It doesn't exist only when the disciples were alive. It doesn't exist when we turn a book or swipe an app. This is holy ground. Heavenly Father, we wait upon you, Father God. Give us the energy and the patience to wait upon you. Upon your presence, Lord. Upon your presence. Holy Spirit, fill us. This is holy ground in Jesus' name. The church is at work. Thank you, Jesus, for our church family. I pray that we continue to seek the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit guide us. Yes, Lord. I pray that we be holy ground, that we be holy ground to those that we've come in contact with already, and that we be holy ground to those that we haven't yet made contact with. And when God spoke to Moses, he told him to take off his sandals and come to him. The only way this idea works, the only way we live in holy ground, is if we take off our sandals, church. If we take off our sandals, our sins, we need to get rid of our sins, our doubts. If we just take off our sandals. You see, God doesn't care about our sandals. He cares about us. He didn't want our sins. He didn't want our sandals. He didn't want our doubts, our worries, our concerns, our bank account, our leaking roof, our flooded homes, our empty gas tanks. He doesn't want any of that. He wants us. And if we just take off our sandals, church, he will come to us. And we will experience that holy ground. And we will experience that holy ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.